97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. We running in the post. 11:31 on this Friday night, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight. Josh Rabick producing the show. Great to have my man Carl Namoli back in the mix, producing and engineering the Sixers games, along with Josh Rabick here, as we all heard the loss right here on the Fanatic, 127-119. Frustrating loss yet again, dropping 7-5. We talked about it. They have lost now, when we talked about it before the game, they had lost 4 of their last 6, now 4 of their last 7, as they start off the season 5-0, now 7-5 on this basketball season. So 2-5 in their last 7. And it's early still, but yeah, but that's the problem. But there are too many things that we need to talk about. And since this is an abbreviated show due to the length of the game tonight, we're going into overtime, a 2-hour and 36-minute game. We want to get right to the phones and allow you guys to voice your opinion. 610-632-0975. Again, I'm not happy with things. The free throw discrepancy once again pops itself up, puts his head up there and says, hey, here we go again. 41 attempts for the Oklahoma City Thunder, 22 from the free throw line. And D-Lonham said it earlier when we did the pregame show. Before we start things off with Laurie, Dominic, Mitch, and Q from Upper Darby, we'll get to you guys in just a second. I just want to say this real fast, that D talked about defensively. When Brett is complaining about the personal fouls, and they have 32 to 23, an advantage in personal fouls, 9 more personal fouls, and Tom McGinnis points out the really just ridiculous one that Ben Simmons commits, that when you look at it, say, oh, it's not a big deal. Well, he ultimately fouled out where you could have used him. Well, technically, you could have used him the entire fourth quarter. He didn't do anything. And in overtime, didn't do much of anything because he wasn't out there long enough in the, I think, 3 minutes that he was out there on the floor before he fouled out. As I take a quick peek at the overtime, which was 3 minutes and 57 seconds. No shot attempts, 1 assist, 1 personal foul, and then he fouled out of the game. So you basically got nothing from him, and it didn't really matter at that point. But that being said, lazy on defense when you're fouling the way you are. It's just ridiculous. And let's get ready to go to the phones. Again, the personal fouls, just if you can't find ways, 32 free three-pointers, again, you make 14, but you're still not being aggressive enough going to the basket. Only 22 free throw attempts. Laurie is starting things off in the post with us tonight, right here on The Fanatic. Hey, Laurie.
Hey, Devin. Can you hear me?
Yes, Devon. How you doing?
Devon, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. No problem.
Brother, first of all, I want to say that I'm a long-time listener, and this is my first time calling in.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I represent, you know, at least 4 generations of women specifically that support the Sixers. Yes. And have been diehard fans. My sister is a season ticket holder. Let me get right into it.
Go for it.
I am so happy that, you know, you and Dee and Tom and even Crystal and Tyrone on the television right now are saying what I'm thinking, because now I don't feel like I'm crazy. Brett wants to sit here and talk about how many fouls we're committing. Now, that's just the nature of how the NBA is now. You know what I mean? But as far as us being aggressive, us getting to the line, and we're supposed to be playing bully ball this year.
Yes.
You know, I feel like he's lied to us. I feel like, honestly, him, Ben, and Joel lied to us in the offseason, had us already, had the entire nation, even the national media that hates on us, already to look at them as legitimate. You know, we thought that JoJo took the meme seriously, you know, and let me tell you, I thought that Ben had leveled up and actually arrived.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw him down there, you know, in that chokehold with Karl Anthony Towns, as unsportsmanlike as it all may have been, I almost shed a tear just because I saw that fire in him. You know, I thought that that was a moment that would bind them together.
A different attitude with this team. Right.
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
And for that reason, I have to put most of the blame on Brett and Ben, not necessarily JoJo, because I am confident that with the leadership of Al Horford, I think that JoJo is very brilliant on his own, you know, as an athlete that I've seen in this last generation. So I think that he's observant enough to correct his mistakes. But, you know, the early celebrating and the bravado, he hasn't cut it out. He lied about that. You know, he's obviously not in shape. You know, I was expecting him to be winded in Denver a little bit. But, I mean, he's been playing like that ever since.
He's the same player. I mean, he's so good. He's going to continue to be dominant. You needed more from him to be even more dominant and be more effective. If he wants to be the MVP of the league and a defensive player of the year, he cannot allow. Listen, he's a pro. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander having three opportunities to get those crafty scoop layups underneath the arms, the long arms of Joel Embiid, that tiredness, the laziness a little bit. And I understand he's trying to protect himself, but he has to find a way. Listen, Laurie, great stuff. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger as we talk about the Sixers here tonight. Jack on Twitter jumps right in and says everything on Twitter. Jack, everything is screaming hashtag fire Brett. It is so obvious this team does not believe in this coach or each other. There's no leadership, no accountability, no discipline, no identity, and seemingly no stars. This is a disaster. Two straight losses to two bad teams. This is bad. He needs to go. Well, real quick, Oklahoma City may be a bad team in theory. We think that because we look at the record. They were undefeated at home, so they do play well in their place. But to your point, maybe after all these years that the message not being accepted the way that we expect it to be at this point from the head coach, with so much on both of this team and the coach to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and advance to the NBA Finals. Starting off 5-0, fantastic. Even when they got to 5-2, you say, all right, we see some things. They can correct it. Even still, all these things are correctable. Something's wrong, though. Something is wrong. 610-632-0975. Bryant at that ball B says, second round exit, if that, when it comes to this basketball team. Dominic in Philly next in the post. What's up, Dom?
What's up, Divine? Man, let me tell you, I hate to say everything that I'm about to say.
Say it.
But something don't smell right, man. It doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. It doesn't feel right. The coach sounds like Kapler. The team feels like the Eagles. So listen, I remember earlier in the year you were talking about the Eagles and you said, I don't like the team.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah.
That's where I'm at with these guys. This small sample size that we've had, I believe that some themes have been established here, and I really don't believe that these themes are going to be cleared up. I kind of feel like I've seen this all before, Divine.
Is it the team or is it the rest of the teams having film on them? Or do you put more blame on the Sixers themselves for their own wounds?
I put it all on the Sixers. I was the guy last year calling you at the end of the year saying, next year is the year.
Right.
Everything's going to... I was him. Coach Brown is great. Ben's going to come back great. The woman, Lori, she said everything for me. Almost just hung up the phone, really, actually, because she verbalized it perfectly.
She said it great, but, yes.
What I have to just say, man, is that, like, you know, I don't like the team. I love the team, but I don't like this team. Something's wrong, Divine.
Yeah,
man.
Something's not right. Something's not right. They need to figure it out, man. They are on the road Sunday in Cleveland, and they have three at home, I believe. If I look at the schedule real quick, I know, in fact, for a fact, next week they have three home games as we talk about New York on Wednesday, San Antonio Friday, and back-to-back with Miami on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So you know Jimmy Butler's going to want to come in here and prove a point. And that brings me to my next point there, Dom. Great stuff, man, as always. Good to hear from you. Here's why I knew something for me that I didn't like. When Joel Embiid keeps talking about, I miss Jimmy Butler, I know I got to be the closer. Stop bringing up Jimmy Butler. It's almost like the Eagles talking about, or we talking about the Eagles because we think they are still in their heads back in 2017, 2018, February when they won the Super Bowl. Leave Jimmy Butler where Jimmy Butler was. He's gone. He's in Miami. You'll see him next week so you guys can love it up, okay? Next Saturday. Just beat him. It's also to my thing of Brett Brown. Listen, all right, you won some championships with the Spurs. It was fantastic. I love the Spurs as well. You were more in tune with it because you actually coached with that team and had a chance to win those rings. Stop talking about the Spurs. That was tired to me 3 years ago. You have your own culture now. Stop talking about the Spurs. Stop talking about the Spurs. Stop talking about Jimmy Butler and go out there and do it. Period. 610-632-0975. Guys, I'm just going to come back next break, say hello, introduce you, and you go. Final segment right here in the Post on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
11:46, 97.5 The Fanatic in the Post. I'm Devon Givens. Josh Rabick, thanks so much, man. Great job all night, of course, dating back to 6 o'clock. Doing a great job again tonight as we get ready to close down things in this final segment. All right, so we're going to start off with Quiddy, and then Mitch, Jerry, and Tom. So, guys, since we're short on time, here's what I want to do. Quiddy, at the end of your call, I'm going to tell you who to introduce and tell them that they are next in the Post. We're going to go to them. And you. So basically, you guys are going to introduce the next caller, if you're okay with that. So let's start things off with Quiddy in Upper Darby. Quiddy, what's going on? You're in the Post.
What's up, Devon? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. Well, not too good.
Outside of the game, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. All right, well, with Ben, man, I want to say this just because, you know, I wasn't one of those guys over the last 2 years that killed him, said, I'll trade him. I like to give guys the benefit of the doubt.
Same here.
You know, same thing with Brett. So, but it's almost like now, okay, we have to just put the picture together now. You get a guy, Jimmy Butler comes in, he's a leader, he's been in the battles, and he kind of like, he leaves. He shies away from it, and it kind of makes you think now because, you said a little something a little earlier how Jimmy and JJ left. You know, they had their exit interviews and they said, you know, Joe and Ben are going to be great players. And then they decided to move elsewhere. So it kind of makes me think now as a fan, like, did they not trust, you know, what Brett was doing? Because, like, right now, I'm not trusting what Brett is doing. You can't have Ben Simmons be a post player with Al Horford and Joe Embiid on the court. It just doesn't make sense. The spacing will never work, you know. And I just think Ben Simmons is such a flawed basketball player right now because people say, if you ask what Ben's strengths are, it's obviously getting to the rim, you know, playmaking, being one of the fastest guys on the court, all that. But he doesn't abuse his strengths. So his weaknesses are so glaring because he doesn't abuse his strengths. A guy like Giannis, he's going to go to the rim until you force him to stop. You know what I mean? So it's been very frustrating to watch Ben right now. I don't think Embiid is being used at his full capacity because he never has space to post, you know. And it just, I don't know, even last year when I was, you know, trying to defend him, it was just always – there's something in me that always wants to see how great of a player Joel Embiid can actually be if he has a point guard that can, you know, score from all three levels.
Yeah, because even when we talk about it, and I hate those same things, man, people were saying, because I'm a Ben Simmons guy, hey, it's time to trade him. And I always said it, Q, that, hey, the only time I'm really ready to have a conversation like that is if Portland is saying, hey, let's talk about Damian Lillard. Hey. That's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to happen.
Man.
So listen, great stuff, man. Do me a favor. Can you introduce Mitch and tell him he's next in the Post?
All right. We got Mitch coming up next in the Post.
You got it, Q. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Mitch.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Where do I begin? You think the general manager has enough stones to fire Brett Brown?
I do, yes.
I don't. They got a bad mix of people on that team. They got a bad coach. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. The teams in front of them are all either 9-1 or 7-3.
But it doesn't mean the general manager is bad and is afraid to pull the trigger if he has to. I think he would. If to your question, if I'm going to answer you, yes, I do believe he would.
Okay. So you say yes, I say no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not sure. Mitch, thanks for the call, man. 610-632-0975. We keep it moving. We go to Jerry in Philly next, right here on In the Post. Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
I'm doing good, man.
All right, listen, I called you yesterday and I told you that Brett Brown and Ben Simmons are the problem. I'm going to keep yelling it today on the airwaves, and you need to start doing it too. You need to lobby for this man to get fired. Don't feel bad about it. He's a millionaire. He'll be okay. But listen, Ben needs to go because he's not going to shoot. He's the reason we got bounced out 2 years in a row. Let's just get rid of him now. Cut bait. Find something better. Mm. Brett Brown needs to go because you need Mark Jackson here. Mark Jackson would turn this team around in a second. He would turn the team around. You know that. Mark Jackson is the man for this team. I personally think that that's what needs to happen. As far as that, I wish we would have kept Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler wanted to move on because he wanted to move to South Carolina.
He wanted his own team, really.
Yeah, but also, Jimmy Butler, I mean, come on. He calls like it is. I think he likes Ben Simmons, but he knows where Ben Simmons is at. His heart isn't in the game as much as Joel and them are.
Well, Ben told us that he fell in love with the game again.
Well, yeah, after he got his money, of course.
Okay.
When did you fall in love with anything once you got $170 million? I fall in love with Oprah since I got $170 million. But no, man, like, I know you don't have much time. I know you're up against it.
Keep it going, man.
Say,
you're good.
Okay. Now, I was going to say, you know, I just feel like this team isn't going to trend anywhere good this year, man. And honestly, I'm not trying to be cynical. I don't want it to, because I want them to really look at the problems. And it's Brett Brown and Ben Simmons that you need to look at. And I like Brand as our GM, but I think he kind of made a fancy move by locking up Ben, because, you know, first time being a GM, you want to, like, say, hey, look, I did this, I did that. But I think you really have to look at him like, is Ben really going to progress? Is his heart in the game as much as Joel? I've seen Joel shed tears in that floor when Kawhi hit that shot. When I've seen Ben talk about it, Ben's like, well, I didn't react to it, you know, like every other player did. And I'm like, dude, I would have been punching the wall. I would have been cursed. I would have been kicking things over. You know, his heart's not in the game. He's more into what basketball can do for him than what he can do for the game.
Okay.
He doesn't care about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, man, this is a tough one. Right now through 12, it's not looking good at 7-5 currently for this basketball team. Jerry, as always, great stuff, man. Can you tell Tom in West Philly he's next in the post?
Tom and Jerry. Tom, you're on.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Tommy?
I'm going to go right behind him and say that Ben Simmons has primary narcissism problem. Not only that, he has a confrontational attitude of the game, almost like a thug in the street, or De Niro looking at himself in Taxi Driver, or Travolta to showing DeVito. The attitude seems to be, yeah, I can do what I want with you. I'm going to dunk on you. Oh, God, you just got by me here. Let me bump into you and foul you. In fact, if I was going to do anything with his arc, I'd turn him into Dennis Rodman before I turn him into a point guard. He doesn't have loose enough groins. He doesn't move like Antetokounmpo moves. But there's something about him. He's got a thuggish, narcissistic attitude. When you're playing with NBA guys that are the top guys, their brains are fluid. He just looks like he's standing there going, yeah, is that what all you got? Watch this. And that works on a level right up to this, but on this level, he's dead meat. And I like Joel Embiid a lot. I think he really has body problems with his size and something to do with his spine.
Yeah.
If you play more than 28 minutes a game, he just can't get in shape. In fact, I'd look for ways to keep him high post. Also, too, people don't realize he's a short-arm guy. Short-arm guys make the best shooters. He's a knockdown shooter, but you have to play him for stretches. As soon as he looks gassed, you got to get him out of there.
But yeah, well, he looks gassed a lot. Tom, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. We got to get out of here. And unfortunately, they needed to get out of Oklahoma City and head to Cleveland. 127-119. They fall 7-5 now on the season. Back at it Sunday, 3:00 against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. I will be back on Sunday at noon with my guys, Trey, Brian, and Jason for the pregame show as the Birds take on the New England Patriots. We go from 12 to 2:45 before the Sixers game. So I'll talk to you then. Josh Rabick, again, great job, man. Really appreciate it. Carl Namoli, as always, fantastic. Tom McGinnis and Brian Seltzer as well. I'm Devon Givens. I'll talk to you on Sunday. Have a great weekend right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.